Aloha, friend. I'm Melissa, and welcome to the 6-Bit Storybook Podcast, a podcast for knitters to enjoy slowing down, which sometimes doesn't happen as often as it should. Making time to explore your fiber art love is something that doesn't have to be a full stop or even take very long. Today, you can make time to discover interesting things in your own hand. Your yarn. We've created a free PDF to help you explore yarn. I share more of that with you in my little bit today. But first, our friend, my co-host Melody, shares a bit about what she's discovering. And then we round out the podcast with our 6 questions, which has a wee makeover. We hope you enjoy the changes. Listen to hear if you are the person whose question gets asked. Also, we share how you can win some awesome yarn. Let's start our story. Today's 6-Bit Storybook Podcast is made possible from support by Space Cadet Yarn. You can explore the furthest reaches of your imagination with stellar mini skeins from their Mini Skein Club. And here's the really cool thing. If you've ever wanted to try the different Space Cadet yarns, the Mini Skein Club is a great way to do it because the skeins are a mix of all the Space Cadet's beautiful fingering yarns. The multicolor mix contains a variety each month, and the ombre and gradient mix changes yarn from month to month. So, some are Celeste and Oriana, there's a touch of cashmere with Aurora, stunning sheen on Maya, and subtle sparkle on Lucina. If you have questions, or you want to sign up and see some great fun in your mailbox, be sure to head over to spacecadetyarn.com.
Hello, knitters. So this week's theme is discovering, digging up, and hidden treasures. As soon as I saw these 3 words together, I knew which story I would share with you today. If you know me, I'm a big nature lover, and I'm the most happy when I'm outside, spending time outside in the nature and in the woods. And since I moved to Latvia, I learned that people here love their forest as well. And during this time of the year, or even in the summer, actually, they spend a lot of time outside, because our winters are very long, so as soon as the sun is shining, they try to spend as much time outside as possible. So in the summer, a lot of people actually have summer houses, so they go there and they spend time in the garden, having barbecues and doing all sorts of activities outside with family. And in the summer, they also like to gather berries and a lot of things from the woods. And when the autumn comes, if you go to the woods, you will never be alone. Never. 2 weeks ago, I decided to have a little breakfast outside in the woods with family. And when we thought we could have a very peaceful moment, there were actually 5 or 6 persons walking around us gathering mushrooms. And so my story for this week is about mushrooms. I took the theme literally and wanted to share something that I'm very passionate about. So ever since I was little, one of my aunts was very gifted. She was doing a lot of things around the house, preserving food, and she was harvesting things in the nature and doing so many different things. And one of her skills was mushrooming. She knew a lot about mushrooms. And I remember as a little girl, I was so intrigued. I wanted to learn all of her skills, and I wanted to go with her and learn about mushrooms, and it was just magical for me. And growing up close to Paris, France, I I never had this chance to learn from someone, because it's not something that people do really. So I haven't had the chance to learn from people around me. So when I moved to Latvia, I learned so much. I knew nothing about mushrooms and how to find mushrooms and not poison myself. And here, even a 3 years old would be able to recognize a couple of mushrooms. And I was like a baby, literally. I knew nothing. And I had, the first time that I went mushrooming, I had to ask for every single mushroom, asking, hey, is this one edible? Can I eat this one? Oh, it's beautiful. It smells good. Can I eat this one? No, you cannot. You're going to poison yourself. So I knew nothing about mushrooms. And learning about recognizing mushrooms has been such a fantastic journey. I'm able to go to the woods and recognize three varieties of mushrooms. And it's one of my favorite activities to do. Doing it with families or doing it alone is something that I really, really enjoy. And lately, there's something that I really want to do. I started doing natural dyeing quite a while ago. And I really want to experience with mushrooms, because you can get the most fantastic colors from fungus. You can get blues and reds. And traditionally, people in Scandinavia and in the Baltic area used to dye their clothes with mushrooms. They don't have cochineal to get the red colors, or indigo is not native to this area, but still they could manage to get amazing colors from what was growing around them, and they took advantage of that knowledge to color their clothes. So I want to explore this field and learn about that, and dye yarn and see the colors that I could get. So that's a hidden treasure, because you have to dig up to find mushrooms, and you discover new things. You discover probably new food. You discover new colors. You can discover other things when you're with family. You spend so much time with your family outside, and it's fantastic. I cannot really describe that feeling, but when I come back home after mushrooming, it's such a wonderful feeling. So that's my story for this week. And yeah, I really, really want to hear about your story.
Aloha, friend. This is the time where you and I get to sit together and chat about whatever is going on in my head. So this is your time with me, Melissa. And I'd like to share what I'm studying and learning this week. I've been really spending time trying to deconstruct and dig into yarn. There are so many yarns to enjoy. And what's awesome is we can shop anywhere in the world for any type of yarn, thanks to online ordering and just the ease of being able to compare things. We can also shop local to us and yield some amazing treats too. With all the choices and freedom, substitution possibilities are endless. Really, just so many incredible choices we have. As somebody who substitutes all the time, I thought it would be interesting to dig more deeply for myself and become a better student of yarn in general. And I'm finding a host of interesting definitions and terms, values and types. And I thought that over the next 3 weeks, perhaps we could commit to learning or possibly just reviewing together. It may be review for you, but out of it may come some fresh ideas, or at least that's my hope. So today I want to share quickly what I learned this week, as well as a hands-on project that you might like to try. Weights and thickness, classifications were where I found myself camping this week. So weights and thickness are such key elements. And so I played with yarns of different plies for an activity to show myself some interesting things. I found lightweight yarns, and I cut segments, I guess about 3 inches on each end, and I began to untwist them. The parts twisting together create the strand of yarn that are called plies. These plies get twisted really tightly or not together as 2, perhaps 3, maybe 4 or more. And as they work together, they create the thickness of the yarn. But oftentimes I've misled myself thinking, oh, 2-ply or 3-ply. It must be really light and thin. But I've actually used 2-ply before to knit a chunky, fast, thick, oversized cardigan. And so saying that it's 2 or 3-ply may not clarify as I think it should. One of my favorite yarns is actually an 8-ply yarn, which when I was first told by a dyer that she was sending me this gift, her new 8-ply yarn, my mind immediately started conjuring up images. And I started thinking about heavier weight yarns. The yarn was an 8-ply, but it was cable-plied yarn that was quite a light sport weight. Now, sport weight is a bit heavier than, of course, medium, but in reality, the 8-ply was not the thick, roly-poly knitting yarn that I was imagining. The plies were interesting because they were, this is where I'm going to be corrected, but just follow me here for a minute. They were interestingly pre-plied, if you will, to create what became cable-plied. So let's back up. The strands, independent strands that twist together to create the yarn are plies. So think 1 ply plus 1 ply equals a 2-ply. Yes? Okay. So 1 strand plus 1 strand plus 1 strand equals 3 plies. Now, for those of you who spin and have been around the knitting block a few times, this is all rehash stuff. But you may find that as we talk about this, what may seem elementary to you, it might key up some light bulbs and some things that you want to share. Also remember that talking about foundational things is so helpful for having a common language. And in knitting, everybody's not at the same place. So backing up into ply again. Well, if 1 plus 1 is 2 and 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, then of course 1 ply plus 1 ply plus 1 ply plus 1 ply equals 4. With the cable ply, I was intrigued to see that 1 and 1 were plied as 2 strands. And this was repeated over 4 groups. So follow with me here. 8 strands were broken up into 4 groups of 2 to be twisted those 2 together to make 1 strand. So we have our little matrix. We have 8 strands, 4 groups of 2. Those 2 groups get twisted together and become 1. And so making those 8 into 4. And then those 4 were plied and resulted in the incredibly squishy final product. Now, I know squishy is a very technical term, but it was springy and had a lot of press it in, it pops back out vibe to it. The essence of it was just very fun, and it had a lot of stored energy. So this is not the new aha for me that I was introduced this week about the cable plying yarn, because I actually met that yarn 4 years ago. In case you're interested, it was Lyra by Space Cadet, and it's a cable plied sport weight yarn that I just fell in love with. My application this week was taking singles that I spun, and I plied 2 together to make 1 strand. And then I plied 2 more together to make 1 strand. So I had 2 final strands to ply. 4 strands. I know you guys are like, wow, Melissa, it's so incredible that you actually can do math. But hear me out. So my brainstorming and playing around, I began to wonder that if I spun and plied 2 together and then added those 2 plies as 1 to just 1 single, would that even work? So I'm going to tell you how that went and share some more yarn classifications and terms that I'm reading about next week. But for now, here's an action that you can take with a simple guide in case you need it. And if you don't,
no worries. But if you'd like, I've got a little guide, a fun hands-on activity available as a free download on the 6-Bit Storybook podcast page. So go to the 6-Bits website, look for the podcast page, and there'll be a free gift for you there. So your objective this week is to find an assortment of yarns that you just have on hand. Snip a bit off of a few, 2.5, 3 inches, maybe more if you'd like. And then record from the ball or the skein band what ply it is. And you'll see the little compartments on your PDF to do this fun activity. And then what you're going to do is untwist it. Untwist it and tape it down on the paper. Take a moment. Again, slow down. Look at your yarn and see that so many little parts are going on and being put into it for our creative enjoyment. So you can actually dissect a range of weights and an assortment of plies, and then you can share what you are learning with us on our Ravelry page, or you can even, you know, be bold, take a few pictures and tag me in it on Instagram. I would love to share in your discoveries. So bottom lines, takeaways from today. We know that weight and thickness of yarn, as well as its loft and texture and fiber content, are unique fingerprints for the yarn. We know that they're all classification characteristics of yarn. And talking specifically about ply is referring to the number of strands that are twisted together tightly, loosely, no matter what. And these plies get twisted up and form the final results that we see, thickness and weight. So deconstructing small samples of yarns that you have will help you actually see the ply and how it works. So give it a try. My best aloha is to you, and I hope that you become your best advocate this week and pour yourself into a few moments of student discovery time for you.
Before we sit together, you, Melody, and I, for our 6 questions segment, I'd like to share a quick bit about our second sponsor, us. Yes, that's right. 6-Bit Storybooks for Knitters, for Dreamers, for Curious Folks. Our premier issue, Unearthed, launches this week. Dig deeper. Discover what lies beneath the surface. Create texture. Embrace the natural shades of autumn. Explore caves and coastlines. Meet dyers who craft yarns from gifts the earth shares. A publication that not only shares a variety of well-curated knitting patterns, but one that invites you to unearth a deeper story. Be sure to visit the 6bitstorybooks.com website before 10/14/15 to take advantage of pre-order savings. That's October 14th. Now, let's sit together and enjoy our 6 questions segment. It is a delight to be back with you again, Melody. I love this time together.
Yes, it's our Tuesday afternoon routine. I mean, my afternoon and your noon, probably.
It's actually here. It's only about 10 a.m. So it's been a long morning, and I'm just really excited to sit and have my tea. And I thought of you as I was pouring my tea, and all the storytellers that are listening, I was thinking about them too. And it just makes me excited that we can connect, you and I, in real time right now. Yeah. But that connection transcends so many different things, and we are actually connecting with people all over. So before we do question time, I just wanted to share a quick reminder. So remember, storytellers, that as you listen to this podcast, you are very much a part of this podcast. Melody and I feel very strongly about that. And if you have a question for Melody to answer, then you can email me at hellomelissa@sixbitstorybooks.com. And if you have a question for me, you can email Melody at hellomelody@sixbitsstorybooks.com. And Melody, for something fun I wanted to share today, before we actually dive into the questions, is how our storytellers listening right now can be entered into a giveaway for the month of October. So do you mind if I share that really quick?
Of course not.
All That's right. It's kind of exciting. So every single storyteller listening can enter to win yarn for a pattern in our Unearth collection, which is going to launch in just a few days. So storytellers, you simply need to leave us an iTunes review and then screenshot it. And so, Melody, you want to tell them real quick how to do a screenshot, since you're such a tech savvy gal?
I know how to do it on Mac, but on other devices, I'm not so sure. I think you... Oh, I don't know how to explain that.
Oh, I didn't
because
it has
a French keyboard as well.
Oh, I didn't realize that for French.
Yeah.
For French keyboard. Okay, so you can tell us in French, but I'll tell the people who have an iPhone, for us, we just click the power button and the home button at the same time, and then it takes a picture. Is yours different?
I think in French, on my French keyboard, it's command in French and shift, I don't know, in French, and majuscule 4.
Oh my. Oh wait, are you screenshotting from your computer?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So Melody just told you how to screenshot from your computer. I was telling them from their phone. So there you go. So all they have to do, and that was a lot harder than...
Yes.
That was harder for Melody and I to do than it is for you, storyteller listening. All you have to do is leave a review on iTunes and screenshot it, and then email it to me, hellomelissa@sixbitsstorybooks.com, with review screenshot in the subject line. And then the cool thing is, one lucky listener will receive the yarn, the beautiful, wonderful yarn needed to create one of the projects from Six Bits Issue 1, which is Unearth. And there are some teasers that are popping up on the website. And then the pattern we will give them if they don't subscribe to our publication, which really works out great for everyone listening. You know, we always share that listening to this podcast enhances the storybook, but you can listen to this podcast and never even open a page of our publication. We hope that you do, but we want to definitely always share content, free downloads each week, make our activities friendly to everyone, and the KAL is no exception. So it works out great that our first KAL will have this yarn support shared with listeners. And to enter, listeners can review, screenshot, and email me until the 29th of October. And then we will announce the winner on the podcast airing the 31st of October. So that way we can post the winning treats to the winner of the beautiful yarn in time for the winner to participate in the KAL with it if they choose. So I'm very excited about October's giveaway. And I look forward to every month for us to give something to the storytellers all around the world that listen in to the podcast. So that's our first giveaway.
Yay!
And then we have our first cowl, which we're excited about. You've already started doing some swatching and some things on Instagram that listeners can see.
Yes.
What have you been doing?
You want to know?
I do. I always want to know what you're doing. You're always so interesting.
My mom, it's very funny because my mom is not a knitter, but the other day we were talking about knitting and she ordered some yarn online.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I asked her if it was possible to get some yarn as well, because for me, it's a bit complicated to get it here in Latvia, because we don't have local yarn shops that would carry the yarn that I wanted to have. Mm-hmm. So I received some yarn and I'm ready to cast on. So
now on Instagram, have you shown little sneak peeks of the yarn or no? Like if somebody was to creep around on Instagram and check you out, would they see? You don't know?
I don't remember if I shared the yarn, but that's definitely something that I will share very soon.
Yeah, because the first issue comes out in 9 days. Oh my yeah. goodness. After we do our question time, if we have some time, I wanted to chat about all that entails with the first publication, which has me at once so excited and like all this adrenaline, you know, when your fingers tingle because you're so excited.
Oh, yes.
But at the same time, like sometimes I catch my breath at how nervous it just this really compelling desire to make it the best that we can make it. And I'm just really driven by that. And so I have all these emotions and I'm just like, ah!
And because you know everything, you know how the magazine is going to look, but I know that you're keeping something from me. So you know that I'm even more excited than you.
Yeah. And you know, we'll scrap that. We can talk for a second about it here and then we'll do the question and answer. But one of the things that, dear listeners, that I want to share with you and Melody in real time is the fact that I just adore all the people that we have brought together for this first issue. And I'm already so excited about all the people that are a part of the second issue. And the first issue, of course, hasn't even launched. But mm-hmm. as the person who knows all the nuances and all the parts and you know, different people that are working on it and different contributors and we're working with different people, but I've intentionally kept it a bit removed from all of you because I want you all to experience just like that Christmas morning or,
advent calendar.
Yes. That advent calendar where it's like, what is next? And so, I don't get that, but when 1 month in or one issue in the future where we change positions and you're doing my job and I'm not doing my job,
wow.
that way I can experience it. But I just think there's something magical about participating in something and not seeing the whole picture until yeah. everyone sees it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess in your position, it's a bit like being excited to offer a present to someone rather than receiving something.
Yes. The gift that I am going to receive, I hope, and this is where I kind of find myself, you know, struggling, is the fact that we all need to, as knitters, as humans, as lovers, as parents, as children, you know, we all have different times in our lives where we're telling different stories and we're characters in different stories. And it's just, we have different roles. And I think finding contentment and beauty in that role is a struggle. It's a very real struggle for everyone where you do your best and you have to be at peace with your best, you know?
Yeah.
But when someone invests as people who are purchasing this magazine for the first time, as those people invest in us, I feel a very heady responsibility to just give them my absolute best, give them our collective absolute best. And same thing with people who are advertising. I want them to feel like they are connecting. We don't want to just put things in there that are just showing beautiful yarn. We want to connect those people who work really hard at crafting yarn. I mean, I know so many times you pick up yarn and you're like, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. And you have to really stop and think about all the work that someone so many, many steps before put into creating that which you're holding, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. Ah, so I'm very excited. I can't believe it's 9 days. By the time listeners are listening to this podcast, it's going to be, you know, less than a week. And it just is, it's so exciting.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is an exciting time, and you always start off our questions. So you get to go first whenever you are ready.
Okay. So my first question to you is, if you would have more time for yourself, which skill would you like to learn or teach yourself?
Oh, oh my goodness, Melody. There are so many of them.
Very busy, and you don't necessarily have all the time in the world to learn new things. So if there would be one thing that you would like to learn, what would it be?
One thing that I like to learn. Well, luckily for me, I'm really blessed with the opportunity. And it's not an opportunity for everyone or that everyone can take. So I really consider it a gift for me. And because I teach my 3 kids at home, I'm always learning new things. But I have to say, oftentimes, they're not things that I would choose to learn. Like right now, we're talking about all the different bones in the body. Elena has to memorize all these different bones for her anatomy and physiology class. And so 11-year-olds, it's surprising how quickly they can remember things. But learning all these little bones again as an adult, you know, that doesn't do it for me. But if I could learn one thing and learn it well, I don't know. Goodness sakes. What? And I know listeners are probably all shouting out, this is what I do. So as you guys are listening and you hear this dead air and you're just like, come on, Mel, there's got to be something. I would be stoked to hear what readers have or listeners have to say. But I think what I would probably like to do is have time. I love languages and I'd love to learn another language. I know several and I enjoy them, but I think there are just so many different languages in the world. So I don't know which one I would pick,
mm-hmm.
but I think I would like to learn and discover the language.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
That's a good...
That was a hard question. I mean, if you let me pick like my top 10, that would have been easier. It's either that or I'd love to learn how to like rappel from a helicopter. anyways. Okay. So yours, I don't know. Hopefully this one will be a little bit easier. That one stumped me. That was a good one. So what knitting tool did you discover that you love? A specific tool? I know last segment or the time before you shared about what was in your knitting arsenal that you take in project bags with you when you are on the go. But what is one thing that you've discovered and it's a tool that you just absolutely love and you find indispensable?
Huh. Well, that's a good question. I don't use like that many tools while mm-hmm. knitting, and I talked about my yarn twist last week, but I could definitely work without it. But I think I would say my metal circular needles, because I learned to knit with straight needles and I don't see myself knitting with them anymore. And I've tried bamboo and I have a kit of wooden needles and I have some other needles, but I'm always going back to metal needles for some reason. So I guess if something would happen to my kit of metal needles, I would be very desperate. So, yeah. Hmm. Metal needles.
Metal needles. Well, I'd like to unpack that a little bit and see what specific needles are you using and what it is about them that you like. So first, mm-hmm. can you share with us what needles you use?
Yes. These are the Knit Pro needles. I think they have another name in the US. Knit Pro in Europe, but you have Knit... That starts with Knit as well. I will have to double check that.
Okay, we can put that in the show notes.
Yes, they don't have the same names in the US and in Europe. So that's actually the first kit that I bought several years ago. And what I really love about them is they allow me to knit way faster than any type of other needles because the tips are quite sharp. They're not very, very sharp, but they're quite sharp. And my knitting is very smooth with metallic needles, and it allows me to knit, yeah, quite fast compared to bamboo, where the fabric sticks more to the needle. Mm-hmm.
So these metal needles, they're interchangeable, or
yes.
Are they? Okay. What's mm-hmm. the cord like? Is the cord a bit stiff, or is it very yes. flexible? It is stiff. I like stiff cords.
Yeah, it's quite sturdy.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Melody loves semi-sharp pointed metal needles. Good for you. All right, your turn.
So my second question is, which country have you always dreamed of visiting?
Oh, the country. Oh, my goodness. And I can only pick one. This is where it gets hard. So I'm going to see if I can't tie in. I would like to visit the country that is located anywhere in Eurasia. No, I just have a fascination with Europe yes. and Asia. And so you could just drop me over there. But if I had to pick one, which I do because that's what you asked and I'm trying to be obedient, I would probably pick Poland. That's where my father and his family are from. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a fascination with it. And I hear that it is just a beautiful, beautiful country with so many things to discover. And mm-hmm. I'd like to go there. But there are so many places that I want to visit. Mm-hmm. It's unreal. But if I could only pick one, we need to make it so you ask me, like, what are my top 20s?
That's true. We should do that as well.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, yeah, but yeah, in another segment, we should totally do that. What's your top 20? But yeah, I think Poland. I know this is, I'm only supposed to ask three, but I'm not going to ask the question. But if you happen to mention the country you'd like to visit, I wouldn't stop you.
yeah, I think it's hard. That's really, really hard, actually. But I'd love to visit Japan.
Mm.
For the food, mostly.
Yeah, my kids and I know my husband would love to spend time there because that's his heritage.
Yeah.
So. All right. So my next question is, and I know I'm going to preface this because most listeners may know this about you, but for those who don't, Melody is a good knitter and not a good yarn hoarder. She doesn't keep a ton of stash. So I'm asking this question specifically because I know that you are really good about intentionally purchasing your yarn and using it. So let's get the skeletons out of the closet. And what yarn have you had the longest and why haven't you used it? And that's one question. That's not two. That's one question. It's a run-on question.
Do I have to dig in my stash right now?
Do you know that off the top of your head?
I'm trying to look through the plastic bag where I have all my yarn. I mean, all my yarn. Well, I have some of my yarn. That's a good question.
Well, while you are digging through it, can you dig through it at the same time and kind of tell us, we have time, where you tell us maybe some of your thoughts on intentionally purchasing yarn? Because you and I are a lot different in that respect.
Yeah. Yes.
But you can dig in that way. As soon as you find it, the yarn. So you talk to us as you're digging. And then as soon as you find it, your job is to yell, Eureka!
So, yes, the way I buy yarn, I'm very conscious of my yarn choices. Mm-hmm. And I try to always have a project in mind or a pattern that I want to design and then acquire the yarn. But I never go, it's very unusual for me to go in a yarn shop and just be crazy and put everything in my basket and just figure out later what I will do with the yarn that I bought. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why my stash is not so big. And the second reason is also because I'm in Latvia and I have two yarn shops close to me, but there's not a lot of yarn to choose from. So that's actually good, because otherwise, who knows how much money I would spend on yarn. When I'm in France, when I go in Paris, there's a couple of yarn shops. And when I'm there, that's another question. So yeah, the oldest yarn that I have in my stash, I think it's, yeah, I have like 12 skins of Berroco Ulshal Paca, I think. And I bought it from D-Stash on Ravelry for a very, very good deal.
Oh.
I think I paid, I don't remember actually, but that was a very good deal. And I bought a sweater quantity of that yarn. It's a eggplant purple. Ooh. So it's very, very dark, but it has a lot of different shades in the color. And it's a sport weight, which is my favorite weight.
Mm-hmm. I love that too.
And yeah, I think I have more than 12 skins, so I could definitely make a very cozy sweater or something like that, or use the yarn for several projects. And yeah, that's probably the oldest yarn in my stash.
And it's Berroco. Tell me one more time.
I think it's Ultra Alpaca. I'm not sure. I will have
Ultra Alpaca. Okay. And is it 100% alpaca, or is it like a blend?
I think it's a blend.
Ah, nice. You'll have to snap a picture of that and share it. We'll put that in the show notes too.
Yes.
All right. So that was your hard, tricky question.
That was hard.
You actually had to get up and dig.
So my third question to you, I'd like to know if you could share something that someone made you discover and that something had a big impact on you, if that makes sense.
So someone had me discover?
Someone made you discover something that had a big impact on you. If you could share.
Okay. That thing. I think, let me just make sure I'm understanding. So either they forced me like a teacher, or just by virtue of being in connection with them, I could go either way with it. Okay. Wow. That is a good question. And while I am thinking and stalling for time, what I'd like to do is also encourage the storytellers that are listening to tell their story and to share with us their response to in the Ravelry forum. I think this would be a great discussion question Melody came up with. And I would say that I've had a lot of interesting people throughout my life, especially since we've moved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think the person that has made me discover the most would actually be my eldest daughter, for a number of reasons. Natalia is very sharp and she's very analytical. She looks at things in a very mature way, I think. Of course, you know, she's not super mature. She just turned 18, but you know, she still has that childlike quality. But ever since she was a kid, she's definitely had a unique perspective, and one that I admire. And I say unique because it's so different from mine. I'm very carefree. Let's just do this. I don't need a ton of structure in my personal life for myself. Like, I don't force that upon other people. But I love kind of dwelling in that structure. So if other people have structure in their life, I'm just really excited about it. But she has a real gift for knitting, in that she sees something, she will start to work on it. She will knit a sweater. She and I were both in the Madeline Tosh Magnolia Society Sweater Club. I signed her up for that. And she would get the yarn and she'd get a sweater quantity. And I'm remembering right now a beautiful purple and black color that she got. I don't know the name of it. But she started knitting this cardigan. And she got full out into it. I mean, she could have just done the sleeves and picked up and finished the button band. So the fronts were done, the backs were done. I think it had a hood, I want to say. I don't know, but she was over halfway done with it. And she just was like, I don't really like it. And next thing I knew, she was pulling it out. And I was just like, oh my gosh, are you kidding? You invested all that time. And her line of thinking, you know, she's forced me to be a better thinker when I approach projects, because she knew, you know what, this is not working. You know, I don't care how much time I've already invested in it. It's not what I want. And so I'm going to rip it out and do something different. And I don't usually do that. I will go forward and I will change it, or I'll alter it, or I'll force whatever I'm knitting to conform to what I want. And just having her attitude has forced me to really manage my my response to my knitting, in that I need to understand when I tell people and encourage people and share with them, hey, you know what, if you don't like it, just rip it out. On my blog, I'll share with, you know, if you're not feeling it, don't push forward. But I don't swallow that same pill. I'm just like, you know what, I have done this and we're moving forward for my personal knitting. So in my personal knitting, she has taught me a lot, and shown me that there are definitely different ways to think about something, and you can be a fantastic knitter regardless of your age and regardless of what materials you use. So, yeah, she's forced me to be kind of that outside of myself knitter.
That's inspirational.
Yeah. That was a question there, girl. I'm going to actually write that one down.
You should have.
I'm going to use that on you.
just before recording, I was thinking of deep things, deep questions to ask you. And I just cannot ask simple questions for some reason.
I know. I'm like waiting for like the podcast where you're like, okay, so what's your favorite color? And like, what's your favorite ice cream? Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, your last question, my friend, is coming from Marilyn Dobris. And she sent an email that was so sweet. She said, I loved your first podcast and am about to listen to your second. I watch Melody's podcast and I would love to know what she studied in China. So she's curious. She asked quite a few things, but two of the things kind of tied in together. So she wanted to know what you studied in China, and also how popular is knitting in China and Latvia? So if you don't mind, I know that's kind of like two questions, but as you're talking about your studies in China, maybe you could just roll it into how popular knitting is that you've observed in China and Latvia.
Well, so before going to China, I was a student. So I went to China for my third year of I was studying international law, and I was an exchange student. So for my third year, I knew that I would be sent to China. So I studied there for a whole year, and I have a double degree in law and in languages, English and Chinese. So that's why, that's why I was sent to China. So that answers the first question. And then for knitting in China and in Latvia, it's difficult to answer about China because I haven't been everywhere in China. It's such a big country that I cannot talk for the whole country. But from what I've seen in Wuhan, so that's the city where I was the first year, because I spent 2 years in China. The first year, so where I studied in Wuhan, I remember in the winter, there's a small shop that was carrying different products in the summer, and as soon as winter arrived, they started carrying yarn. So it means that people are knitting in China. But when I wanted to buy yarn from the lady that worked in that shop, there wasn't any information regarding the yarn. So that's something very different from what we find in our yarn shops. Mm-hmm. Then I remember for the needles, most of the ladies that were knitting in the street were using tiny, tiny double pointed needles. And at that point, I didn't know a lot about knitting or anything. I just remember these ladies in the street knitting on such small needles. I think they were like US zero or something. They were tiny, tiny, tiny. Wow. And they were knitting color work, baby sweaters and things like that. And that was amazing because the summer just before going to China, I taught myself how to knit and I was using massive 10 millimeters needles. So I was just amazed and I didn't know what double pointed needles were. So
it's interesting and terrifying at the same time to see them doing that.
Completely, because I was like, I didn't know that Chinese ladies were knitting actually. Had no idea. So I was very surprised actually. And yeah, that's what I've learned in Wuhan. But for the rest of China, when I moved to the south of China the second year, so it was 5 minutes from the Hong Kongese border. Mm-hmm. And the city, so I was in Shenzhen, and Shenzhen is very, very different from Wuhan. And the streets are absolutely huge, and it's very different from Wuhan, and people were not so much in the street doing different activities. So I haven't seen anything related to knitting in Shenzhen, but I know that there's definitely people knitting in China.
What about in Latvia?
Yes, well, in Latvia people are knitting a lot, but it's mostly something that elder ladies are doing. It's a traditional craft, so I don't think that the young generation is really into this type of things. I attended a workshop not so long ago, and there were a couple of young ladies, but not that much. And here in Latvia, there's a lot of elder ladies that are still knitting stockings and traditional mittens and things like that. So knitting is still, it's something that is very deep into the culture, but it's more, it's not so much something trendy, something that young people would do, I guess.
Is it more utilitarian? Are the people who are knitting, are they knitting it for a purpose, whether that's purpose is to wear it or to sell it?
Mm-hmm. Mostly for selling and souvenirs and things like that, not so much as a craft or as a hobby.
Do you mind, and this is putting you on the spot, and so if you do mind, the listeners are never going to hear it because I'll edit it out, but if you don't mind, then we can talk about it. But do you remember we talked some time ago, I think it was months ago when we were planning out what I was hoping for articles for the future. Mm-hmm. And you told me about seeing the babshi or the babushka. What do you, I know that's what we call them in Polish, but the elderly lady that was selling the hand knit. Do you mind just kind of capturing that story again or retelling that story? It was such a lovely story with you meeting her and what she was selling and what she was charging for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not so long ago, that was during the summer, or that was in June actually, because my friend Mary came to visit me and we walked in the old town, and there's a couple of ladies that are selling their hand knits. So they were selling traditional mittens and stockings and things like that. And I've always wanted to buy something from one of these ladies because they are working outside, knitting and selling their goods, and the prices are just, I don't want to say ridiculous, because I mean it's very cheap, like a pair of socks, like high, very, very tall socks. They were selling these socks for 10 euros, so it's about $13. And when you know the time that it requires to make a pair of socks, it just doesn't really make sense. So we bought a couple of pairs and we talked with the lady a little bit, and yeah, we just really wanted to help her because that's what she's doing for a living. She's maybe 75 years old or something like that. And it's very touching when there's someone with a certain age knitting outside and selling her knitting. It's just very hard to see that. So we bought a couple of pairs and just trying to support her as much as we could. Of course, we cannot buy all of her goods, but
what I think really, and it's just an amazing story, but something I wanted to make sure that listeners heard from you was the fact that as you and I talked, wasn't the fact that you didn't buy these out of thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I understand you were supporting her, but I just remember you saying they were beautiful. They were good quality. And it wasn't like you were just purchasing them because you felt sorry for this woman, but she was really artistic and they were beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They're very skillful. In a million years, I wouldn't be able to knit as well as she knits. There's no way I would learn. learn knitting mittens the way she does. But yes, the knitting here is fantastic. Like the knit on the smallest needles ever, like five colors at a time or something like that. And we didn't only buy because we wanted to help her, but because everything was beautiful, really.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Mary, she bought like two pairs of lacy socks that were knit probably in bulky weight. So it's very lacy, you can imagine, but you could layer it on leggings or things like that in the winter. And that's very, very beautiful. Same for the mittens. They are very wearable items. And I bought myself a pair when I was in Estonia, actually. And yes, it's very, very, very beautiful.
Well, listeners, I know as they are going to soon become accustomed to the fact that every time we air a podcast, we are going to give them something that they can do and share, whether it's a PDF like last week that Kate taught a bit about color theory and then gave us a fantastic pattern, a free pattern. So if you didn't get that, definitely listen to episode 2 and hear about color theory and visit the website, the 6bitstorybooks.com website. And this week I have a little PDF that they're going to download. But I think what would be really great is if in this week, perhaps Melody could create a blog post for you all to just kind of see the beautiful things that she had. I know you had some pictures of them because I know you shared them with me when we were talking. I think you texted them to me of the, weren't they the socks that were
I think I sent you pictures from the workshop that I attended last fall. Mm-hmm. And the pictures, I sent you like a lot of pictures of traditional Latvian mittens.
Mm-hmm.
And
socks too. Do you have photos of the things that you bought from her?
Yes, probably.
Okay, so Melody's homework assignment, and dear listeners, you guys can see if she did her homework, because if she did, there will be a blog post this weekend when you're listening that will support today's episode. And as always, you can go to the actual episode notes in the podcast tab and find episode 3 today and find the PDF about yarn discoveries and researching ply. And then for visual, beautiful encouragement, we can encourage you guys to head over to the blog and see what Melody shares with us there. This has been a fantastic time. I look forward to every week having tea and sitting and chatting with you, Melody. It's just, it's such a beautiful time together.
Yeah.
So that is it for this week for our Q&A time. But next week, again, if listeners want to join in and share, we want to say thank you again for the really wonderful question that Marilyn shared. And if you want to share a question too, storytellers, you guys can email me with a question for Melody or a question for, no, yeah, email me for a question for Melody and email Melody for a question for me. And so until next week, I thought it would be great just to leave our friends with a an inspirational quote, if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
You go first, my friend.
Sure. Mieux vaut tard de faire que remords de n'avoir pas fait. And that's a quote from Jules Verne from Les Hommes Noirs.
That was beautiful. Can you say that again one more time? I love French.
Mieux vaut tard de faire que remords de n'avoir pas fait.
Yours sounds so much better than mine.
That's my first language.
I know. No, I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking, her quote rocks. If I could say my quote in French first, if I said it in French, I would jack it up. But my quote is actually not a quote that's attributed to anyone. It was a quote that someone cut it and sent it to me in a text. And I have saved it. It has moved from phone to phone to phone. Every time I move it, I try to purge my photos. But this one is my favorite. And I make sure that I keep it because I like to look back at it. I don't know who to attribute it to, so if listeners have read this in an article before, do feel free to pass on to me the wonderful soul who came up with this. We were meant to explore this earth like children do, unhindered by fear, propelled by curiosity and a sense of discovery. Allow yourself to see the world through new eyes and know there are amazing adventures here for you. And on that note, I think we should say adieu.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Well, dear storytellers, it has again been a pleasure to have this time together. Keep the story growing by joining the Ravelry Six Bits group or connect with us on Instagram. You have a bit longer to enter the yarn giveaway for the yarn supply and free pattern from this issue for this month. Simply leave an iTunes review for us, snap a screenshot, and email me, hellomelissa@sixbitstorybooks.com. And don't forget, we want to hear from you as we grow and develop our podcast. Suggest ideas for segments. Send a cue for 6 questions. Want us to help tell the story of your business? Simply contact us and engage. We do thank you for being a part of today's podcast. Remember, you are valuable and your story matters. Encourage others with it.